Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here for another week of our Turning Towards Life conversation. It's our 402nd week. I think, Lizzie, for a while, as we've just passed this 400 threshold, I'm going to be counting a little bit. I think I can feel myself wanting to do that. So welcome, everyone. It's fabulous having you with us, wherever you are in the world and whenever you are watching or listening, whether you're on a podcast or on YouTube or on our turningtowards.life website. We're really, really pleased to be here with you again. And we're going to do what we always do, which is you've brought us a wonderful source, which I'll leave for you to talk about, Lizzie, and we're going to both read it and then enter into a conversation that unfolds over half an hour and see where it goes, which is what we've been doing for these last 7.5 years. And if you're with us and you want to find the source, you can head to turningtowards.life. You can also look in the show notes to the podcast and all the other places this comes out. And if you want to get all the sources in your inbox directly, along with a link to the recordings, you can sign up at turningtowards.life, put your email address in, and you'll get an email from us every week when this comes out. And then you'll have all the sources directly in your inbox, which is a wonderful thing. And you can support our work there as well, if you like. And also, we're heading towards the beginning of a program and a community of learning that we are launching in September, which there'll be more news about shortly, but you can find out about that there too. Anyway, I think that's enough announcements. I'm really glad to be here with you, Lizzie, and I know you've got wonderfulness for us to talk about.
I do have wonderfulness, Justin, and it's every time we meet, Justin, we have this little chat beforehand of whatever, having a bowl of porridge or just been for a swim, or I didn't sleep all night because the baby was awake, whatever the little preamble between us is. And every time in our ordinariness, there's always something about something to do with turning towards life as well, that either one of us has met someone who listens that we didn't realize, or an old friend from school listens or something. And Justin, your story this morning about somebody saying, oh, I listen to Turning Towards Life, but is that what you're really like? Is kind of making me smile this morning. And I feel so glad that the answer to that is yes, that there's an ordinariness here between us. We're not polished. We haven't organized adverts to be in the same bit so we can make money. I mean, maybe we will one day, who knows? But right now, we don't have any production on it other than your brilliant getting it out into the world that you do, Justin. But we're not editing anything or polishing anything or looking different than we really are in real life or sounding any different than we are in real life, all of that. And it's such a relief to be able to turn up somewhere and be real. And the kind of, I guess, the intimacy between you and I to just be in the conversation together and then that be the gift that goes out into the world. It's just, it keeps on dawning and dawning and dawning on me what amazingness that is and how we can really be real and true with each other. And then that's what everyone gets to be inside of with us. So I'm feeling the gift of that. And today we're bringing this really wonderful poem, which is from this new collection. If you're watching, I'm holding up. If you're not watching, I'm holding up a little book, and it's called Could You Just Love Me Like This by Holly Holden. And I think that is the title. It is one of the titles of one of the poems inside. It's a book of poetry, 16 poems. But that poem that's entitled, Could You Just Love Me Like This, did this amazing thing in the world where it went viral. And Holly's my sister, by the way, everyone. And she posted this poem and then it went viral, but it went viral somehow without her name on it. So it was this really sweet thing that happened where people who knew her were like, hold on a sec, that's Holly's work. And everyone around started kind of advocating for it being hers and got her name kind of reattached to the words. But all kinds of people, like really famous people like Pink, posted it on their Instagram and things. Anyway, it got really, really big. And I think she still receives a message a day, at least, from people saying something about the poem. And I think that poem probably was part of the gift of her actually getting this book together It's not published by a publishing house or anything. She just did it herself. And it's so beautiful, this little book. And every single poem in it is like a drop of pure gold. It's so good. And so I don't know. I did try and do a thing for her the other day where I thought, well, I'll just put it on some online platform. And then when I talk about it on Turning Towards Life, I'll be able to tell people how they can get it. But I haven't managed to do that because I was too incapable of doing it. So I had a go, and then I came a cropper with the bank stuff, and I just didn't do it. But so I can't tell you where to get it, but that is the book, and you will be able to get it soon. And it is really beautiful. And so this poem today is called What If I Told You? And by the way, just to say something about Holly, my sister. So she's a year and a half older than me. And so we're very close in age, and we've kind of just dangled about together a lot in our lives and have a very wonderful relationship. And I saw a thing the other day where someone was saying, you always know a woman who has a sister when she walks down the street and you think, my goodness, I can feel that she's got a sister, something about that. And I think it is quite true that having a sister, like the way I have a sister, and maybe other people could resonate with this, is it's like there's a kind of a double strength that comes or something from knowing that, because the way that she talks to me and helps me and says things to me, I turn up with more ballast in the world, with more substance in the world. So I want to just say how grateful I am to her, and that I get a chance to bring one of her poems and really feel into it with you, Justin. It's really wonderful. And Holly, if you're listening, thank you for getting this together and beavering away at your computer and finding out how to do the artwork and making it so beautiful, as you always make things beautiful. Look at the inside cover. It's like a really beautiful thing with a whale and flowers and roses and petals. It's just really beautiful. So here we go. This poem, I mean, I could have picked any of them, Justin, is so good. It's called What If I Told You? It goes like this. What if I told you that showing up in this messy world just as you are is the ultimate act of love? That befriending your doubts, opening your heart to the whole of you, is the greatest act of generosity. That loving yourself in the places that are hardest to love is the most profound gift you can give to those who come after you, to those who meet you, to those who rest in your eyes for a moment, as you move through the world as an invitation and a welcome for everyone's messy beauty. What if I told you we need you just as you are?
So this is What If I Told You by Holly Holden. What if I told you that showing up in this messy world, just as you are, is the ultimate act of love? That befriending your doubts, opening your heart to the whole of you, is the greatest act of generosity? That loving yourself in the places that are hardest to love is the most profound gift you can give to those who come after you, to those who meet you, to those who rest in your eyes for a moment, as you move through the world as an invitation and a welcome for everyone's messy beauty? What if I told you we need you just as you are?
Thank you, Justin. So as you were reading, Justin, the thing that came to me was how somehow in our normal everydayness, this being considered as messy beauty, and that turning up as that, as an act of generosity, is not what gets said or told. And so I'm feeling really emboldened, I guess, by Holly's words. And to take it seriously that that's actually what's needed here. Because it's so easy to think that I have to be something particular that conforms to something so that I'm seen as okay in the world, or I see myself as okay and viable in the world. And the more and more I live and do the work that we do, Justin, the more I know, I really do know that everyone's in some kind of mess most of the time, all the time. And we have moments of like, oh, I think everything's okay right now. But it really isn't long before another wave of life comes and finds us. And so it is generous. It is generous to tell the truth. It is generous to be real. Because then we don't have to feel alone and alien anymore. When the fact is we're not alone and alien. We're just not. But because we don't show ourselves really and share honestly and freely and truly about the mess of our lives, it looks like everything's all right. And there's so many times where that's been totally demystified for me, like somebody who I've projected kind of perfection on, I suddenly know something and I think, oh, I got that completely wrong. They're real too. There we go. Just because it looks like it one way, it doesn't mean that behind the scenes there's something wholly other going on than what I've projected onto them as a means of diminishing myself. It's like, no, no, we're all just in the same old human boat. And living is complex and hard and messy and bonkers. And it really matters that we can show up like that so that we can be together in it all. It feels so bonkers to me right now that we all go around pretending everything's okay, kind of keeping up appearances and doing the kind of social normative thing. And behind the scenes, all kinds of things are going on. And of course, like, it matters to be able to go to the shops and not be bearing it all in the supermarket line or something. I don't mean that, but I mean in the relationships where there is a chance to show up, in the places where there is a chance to show up as real and straightforwardly honest about our lives, it really is a gift. And I know I've received that gift 100 million times from people. And I want to thank all the people that have shown up as real to show me that it's okay for me to be real too. And then we can have an actual conversation.
I've just got so much to say about this. I don't know where to begin. I think the place to start is with what you've just been saying, Lizzie. Maybe the way I've been feeling into it as you've been talking is when we meet somebody who is doing the something that Holly points to, even before they've opened their mouth, it's not so much to do with I meet someone and I blurt out every single something that's going on in my life. In fact, I know people who, and have known people who do that in a way as a kind of performance as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's too simplistic to say, well, this just means like put what's on the inside outside or something, because that can become a way of creating an image or getting needed or, you know, pitied or, you know, whatever. I think it's got something to do with the line that that really touched me as you were reading it is in the second little stanza of Holly's poem, opening your heart to the whole of you is the greatest act of generosity. And I was thinking about it a little bit like when, well, one way I was thinking about it is a little bit like breathing. Like, you know how with breathing, you can completely forget all day that you're breathing. And then, but if you bring your attention to it, suddenly it's obvious, oh, I'm breathing. It's been going on all the time. It's been going on in the background. And with breathing's an interesting example, because breathing is one of these things that moves out of our awareness and just goes on in the background. And it's doing something, it's shaping us all the time, breathing, usually in a very helpful way, because it keeps us going. And then we can bring it into our awareness and suddenly breathing is here. Oh, look at that. And it moves from the invisible like somehow separated from us, from our attention, and then it comes back in. And it seemed to me it was quite a good example of that there are aspects of us that we can have for our whole lives be in the, I'm not even noticing it, like I'm not noticing my breathing. And one part is the thing that I think that I got from what you were saying. There's the making our messiness available to others, like being real in that way. And then this line in Holly's poem points to me to, and also making it available to ourselves, like we can with breathing. Like I could just ignore it all the time. And so part of our putting on a front to other people is very often putting on a front to ourselves. Like I can't, I won't really let myself see not only just the mess, the messy world and everything, but also how incredibly rich and complex we are inside. And that's coming back to the thing I was starting to say, which is, yes, sometimes it's because we're willing to tell the story about the mess that my house is in, or the mess in the relationship I'm in, or how complicated it is being a parent or working, or and sometimes it's the gift that we get to bring by being someone who's willing to include that in ourselves enough that when we speak whatever it is we're speaking about, however it is that we're being, it can be implied, like carried in how we are with one another, even if it's not always explicit. And I think it feels really, really different to be with people who are doing this, opening their hearts to the whole of them, knowing that that's an act of generosity to others. It's different. And I'm going to go as far as to say, I think it's better. You know, it's better for one another, for us in being with one another, to be that, because it allows so much more life through and so much more of our richness and complexity comes through. We move from being some kind of surface to being something with depth. And then last thing to say is, which is really picking up on something you were saying before, Lizzie, I think a lot of how the world works, at least in the time and the place in which we live at the moment, seems to ask us to do the opposite of that. Put yourself away, fit yourself into an image, make sure that you fit the image. And that's what's called for being a person. And I think it really costs us.
I love this, the little paragraph as well that you talked about, the opening your heart to the whole of you. And I was just thinking, I met somebody yesterday where I feel like that's what they were doing. And I don't know anything about their lives, but I felt like I could say anything about mine and it would be okay. That feeling where someone's gaze and someone's field of them feels like an invitation. And it's funny, Justin, because I often think, you know, I seem to meet people a lot who say, when I'm in a taxi or just in the world somewhere with a person, people tend to tell me things. And I think that's part of it too. It's like being a person around whom things can be revealed. And sometimes it is being revealing about ourselves. Like that can really make someone feel safe to say, this happened to me, because I know that explicitly there's content here that allows me to share what needs to be shared. And I know that feeling of being around someone where you just think, oh, I could just say anything and they wouldn't judge me or think there was anything wrong with me. They would say, oh, tell me more. And I think, as well as that being something we can be with one another, as you're saying, I can feel that. I was talking last night, Justin, with a friend about what like being reflective actually is. And I was finding myself talking about, you know, when I ask myself a question, like, why am I really doing this? Like, why do I act the way that I act? My first answer is is really not great. I really have to ask myself lots of times, even in the same moment, to bring a different thing forward. Because I think we can access lots and lots of our wholeness. But I think we kind of have to know that there are lots of layers of defensiveness and protection and lots of parts that get in the way sometimes of, I'm reflecting at the moment, Justin, about me asking my daughter questions and why am I asking her them? And I have to ask myself quite a lot of times to get to the truth. And it really helps me to do it because she doesn't want to talk to me if the reason that I'm asking her is not a very authentic reason. So if I'm asking her because I feel guilty, what did you do at school? And she's doesn't want to tell me. I think she doesn't want to tell me because I can find the place in me that's asking from a place of being left out or of missing her or of some kind of thing in me that's really, it's beautiful that I miss her, but it doesn't help to come from that place when I'm asking her questions. She's a person who demands realness and authenticity. And so I have to be onto myself, but to be onto myself, I have to be conscious and I have to be open to being really gentle with myself and letting myself be honest instead of having judgments on what arises and telling myself there's something wrong with me or being mean to myself or something. So I'm feeling this conversation about wholeness is really important because the needy parts of me, yes, they're here. The guilty parts are here. The mum guilt thing is huge, just is all the time. And so if I'm not gentle and kind with those places, the genuineness of my response to my questions about myself and my motivations can't actually arise. So as I'm more gentle with myself, I get more information from my system. So, and then I can go, so the real reason I'm asking her that is because I feel really sad that I don't know all of the stuff that happens in the day. And I feel kind of guilty about that. And I feel left out of that. And her life is really precious and we're not going to be in this for long. And I'm missing so much because she's at school. And so then I'm in a reflective conversation with myself. And I think, my God, this doesn't belong to her. This belongs to me. I've got some reflection to do here. And then it changes everything about how I interact with her because I don't have to bestow all my guilt and longing on her. I can just wait for her to tell me things and just be present with her and do something nice, like make a card or something for someone's birthday instead of trying to get my needs met. And so that conversation about wholeness and me turning up to myself in all of my messiness and longings and difficulties and whatever, and then holding myself in that, it literally makes for a completely different quality of relationship. And so this kind of, yes, turning up for others as that space that welcomes whatever that wholeness looks like, includes all of the shades of gray in the world and all the difficulties and all the joys and the horribleness and the loveliness and all of it. If I'm doing that for myself, and I know how to reflect and to keep asking myself a question with kindness and to feel into the real reason for doing things and my motivations and be kind to myself with when the answers come that I think, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And just to keep being gentle, I feel like then I can really become that for myself and others, which is kind of clean or something, like cleaner on the inside because I've been really undefended and gentle with myself as to go, okay, yeah, that's okay that you feel like you need to control the situation. That's understandable. What else is here? Just to be in a conversation with myself that's friendly and generous and then see how that changes the world when, as in my world of relating and who I am in relationship. And let it be this kind of grand ongoing experiment.
I I think your question, what else is here, is such a good one. And as I was listening to you, I was being reminded that it's woven through everything that you've just said, and it's so strongly implied in Holly's poem that whatever we find in ourselves, there's always something of us that is the one that's able to find what's in ourselves and to ask what else is there, and to keep on befriending and opening and loving and being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a something behind and beneath and behind and beneath all the things that we find. So that when we're, and obviously I've been thinking too, as you've been talking about, I think the easiest place to see it is in our closest, most intimate relationships, where I'm asking for something or saying for something. And if I pay attention, I can feel that what I'm really doing is trying to desperately get some need met that I'm not prepared to say or haven't even noticed yet. And it might be with my children or with anyone who I love. And so that we can go, oh, I wonder what this is. I wonder from where in me this something is coming, and what else is there? Like, what's that really about? And what else is there means that there's something very, very trustable that is sort of behind and alongside all these needs and wants and longings and wishes to be seen a particular way and desperations and everything. And I read a thing this week, Lizzie, I can't remember where it came from, and I'll try and find it because it might be a good source for another week, which was somebody writing, I really trust that deep down in all of us, we know what's called for to have this world work out. You know, we know how to take care of this planet. We know how to take care of one another. We know how to be open, spacious, and loving, and generous, and true. And it's not far, but it's often hidden away behind what we feel like we're being asked for from our culture, or what we feel like we can't befriend in ourselves.
Yeah.
And so we won't look at, just like our breathing disappears, well, I won't look at the fact that actually I'm feeling incredibly needy and I'm asking my daughter what she's done today because I'll feel better if I feel like I've asked her. I recognize exactly that, by the way, in myself, you know, having a daughter who's... And that's why I think this conversation and Holly's writing is important, because there is a sort of shallow version of this whole thing, which is, oh, you should just love yourself. And actually what we're talking about here and what Holly's writing about is actually a kind of imperative. Like, we really need to do this, because if we don't, then very often what we're doing is bringing ourselves to the world from a place in ourselves which is not generous or wise or true, might be clinging and needy and one-sided and all of these kind of things. And if we can't turn towards that and appreciate it and include it and befriend it, in other words, treat it as something with good intention, goodness in us that we can then work with so it can take up its right place, we'll be coming at the world with a tiny, narrow, diminished part of ourselves that is not capable of being the kind of parent or friend or partner or citizen or whatever it is. So this being an invitation for our own and everybody's messy beauty is actually an ethical stand. It's not just some your life will go better if you do stand. It really makes a difference to how we show up in the world. And I'm glad we're talking about it, because I think that many of us don't get much support in learning to do this.
Yeah.
We get more support in the how to present the front to the world.
Yeah.
Or we get more support in how to sort of feel terribly ashamed of ourselves for failing, and very, very little support for the work of inner inclusion that it takes to be the kind of person who, like you said, Lizzie, other people can come to and everything belongs and there's a place for it and we can be curious about it.
Mm.
It's only through talking about it that we can even start to make some steps towards it, which is why I'm very glad for this conversation. I'm very glad for Holly's very straightforward and loving and beautifully written invitation.
And this, the bit where she said, Justin, you know, you said it's like an imperative. It's a gift that you give to those who come after the who come after you, those who meet you, those who rest in your eyes for a moment. It's like, if we're not if we're not with ourselves in this way, we don't have a hope of gifting something different to those who come after us. If we're not asking these questions, like what else is here, and being reflective about what my motivations are and why I'm saying what I'm saying or whatever, we're just nothing's gonna be different to how it was. And sometimes the how it was is just fine and wonderful. And sometimes, like most people, the how it was wasn't great. You know, there are distortions in it and abuses and unkindnesses and trauma and things where humans have not been good to one another, and we are beneficiaries of that. You know what I mean? We've all received that, and we're not even, we've all got grandparents who were in extremely traumatic world events. Like, that's not far from us. Like, we can't not be touched by that. And then the ones that happened before that and before that, like, we're all recipients of so much. And so if we're not doing this and welcoming more and more, how can we be with our children when they come to us in some kind of rage because something unjust happened, and not just push them to the side and make them stop and push it down? And we've got to have some ballast in ourselves to know that we can be with all of that stuff, and we can encounter someone's grief and sadness and not turn away. And so it feels like you're saying, like, this is what's needed. This is not like a luxury navel gazing situation or something. It really matters that we all take this up, and to be that person, like that person was for me yesterday, that really matters to me, that there was someone there with that openness that I felt, oh, the world is okay. Like, I can bring myself because this person is here. So I'm really grateful that there are those of us who are in this really, really, and very safe spaces that we can bring all of ourselves to and not feel like it's unwelcome or shameful or whatever. So I'm feeling a moment of really kind of warmth and gratitude towards that reflective, open, willing to encounter parts of ourselves that are uncomfortable practice that we have and that many other people have, thank goodness. And I think, you know, the thing that's coming to me now, Justin, is that we're in June 2025, and we're just about to embark on another year of our professional coaching course. And in a way, this is what that is all about. You know, being with one another, accompanying one another as we deepen our capacity to reflect and be true to life. And I'm really grateful that that's what we get to do in the world, and that's how we participate in life, is in large part in this particular way that Holly's talking about here. So thank you. Thank you to Holly again. Thank you to you, Justin. Thank you for everybody for being here and joining in and doing this yourselves in whatever way you do. And we'll be back next week with something that, Justin, you're going to choose. So thank you.
Indeed. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Lizzie.